This week on the Design Review, we talk about the responsibility we have as designers.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Design Review. My name is Chris, and with me is Jonathan. And this week, well, we actually had a different show planned this week, and something happened in current events that sort of got us thinking about maybe a different topic to talk about. And if you're not aware, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are aware, but if you're not aware, what happened was Wednesday, January 6th, an armed mob of Trump supporters basically stormed Capitol Hill and invaded the Capitol building, did a lot of damage, and clashed with police, and lots of crazy things happened as a result. Forced all the Congress members into hiding, and it was very surprising to see, basically. And it was all basically a tactic in order to interfere with the election process. And so, yeah, this is something that we want to talk about because there's a lot of things, I think, that have happened, not just, you know, the past couple days, but in the weeks, months, and years even, leading up to all these different events.
Yeah, and we specifically want to focus in because there's definitely a lot to unpack. It's an accumulation of a lot of things in America and potentially the world, but we definitely want to focus in on our responsibility in that whole trend, if you will, because there's a lot of different factors that have contributed to it, and technology and the designers behind that technology, we have a responsibility and a part in that outcome.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we don't want to point fingers, and like in the tragic design, we don't point fingers, because at the end of the day, you could probably end up in the same situation. You know, we all have good intentions at the end of the day, but where that gets us, we need to be responsible for. And so we wanted to discuss that today, really dig deep into that. We haven't really planned any notes. We have a wholly different episode planned, which we'll do next. But we wanted to just frankly discuss this because it's so important. And this is something that's just heavy on our heads. We can't get it out of our heads. And we wanted to kind of unload here and share this discussion with you.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe little apologies in advance. The show is a little bit more improvised than our typical stuff.
we typically do a pretty good job of framing everything we want to say beforehand so we can be very concise for you. So there might be a little bit more rambling. There might be a little more ums and likes. But bear with us, because I think that the meat is going to be there.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to discuss with you, Chris, was this whole idea of, you know, like Facebook and Twitter ended up doing, you know, much stronger actions than they've done in the past. Originally, you know, they started with, you know, actually preventing the messages from being shared. And then they totally deleted those messages. These were messages that Trump had posted that, you know, really essentially encouraged some of this violence.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then they followed with deleting, and then Facebook has now ousted him from their platform.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to discuss like the social media thing, you know, and there's a lot to it. One being, you know, as designers, we create these platforms, and we decide how these platforms, how people interact on these platforms. And there's a lot of specifics here, I guess, you know, because there is like how we share misinformation and how these platforms can just be this like huge launching ground. There's also the fact that everyone's a reporter now. There's less vetting.
Right.
There's also the fact that, you know, there's so much opportunity for abuse, both, you know, like directly attacking people, bots, you know, creating misinformation for click farms and things like that, which designers of all these different social media platforms have had to deal with for many, many years. And some have even, you know, like reaped benefits from. But right. I think that at the core of it all is this idea that designers are responsible for the work they do. And what does that mean at the end of the day? Yeah. Like, if I created something that, you know, I had an intention for, and I find out later that it's being abused or it didn't have that same intention, like, we have a responsibility as designers to prevent and then to correct ourselves.
Right. Yeah, it's hard because oftentimes, you know, when you're trying to just like get something done or you know, let's say you just have an idea for how to do something, you know, it's like oftentimes, like, what do? You just sort of design the happy path, right? You focus on what is the most idyllic situation for somebody to use this, and let's just create that. Because there's already, I mean, I know this is, I know from experience, for example, that whenever you do that, right, like, there's always going to be like a lot of discussion and debate and back and forth about just trying to do that. So when we talk about like somebody abusing a system or a platform or something, it's like, it's very hard to even conceive of what that could be sometimes. Yeah. And especially when you're just trying to champion like the most ideal path, it's like, you don't want to be bothered with thinking about all these like umpteen different like yeah. potential abuses, right? And so, you know, I can say I'm guilty of maybe not really doing, you know, the full thing that maybe I ought to have. Yeah. But I think in a lot of cases it probably wasn't as you know, the impact wasn't as serious because it was like, you know, an accounting product or, you know, something like that, where
yeah.
chances are they're yeah, not, I mean, abusing it anyway.
Yeah, I think that is a great point, that oftentimes we feel as designers that our the fight that we're trying to win first is just basic usability.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, we feel like we're often losing that fight, and to add really a lot more complexity. And now, you know, and the episode we had planned was about accessibility, and that kind of falls right. in the same category as that we feel that way. It's like, okay, I'm barely getting by trying to get this experience done and approved in the ideal state and in the way that is actually like helpful to users.
Yeah.
And, you know, to bring in, you know, possible cases of abuse, accessibility, and any other complications to that process feels like it's a lot. And I find this as like a big pattern of like hidden costs.
Right.
I keep coming back to hidden costs. When a company comes out with all this amazing stuff and, you know, you reap the benefits, and then you find out later that, you know, like for gaming companies is a great example of hidden costs.
Yeah.
Because they work people to the bone and spit them out, and you know, a lot of unpaid overtime and things like that, and contract work. So they just, you know, as soon as the project's done, they cut them off. And there's an unpaid cost there. There's a hidden cost there that's being passed on to those employees. And I think there's also a hidden cost in development that we don't want to pay.
Right.
You know, at a startup, you could get a pass because you're just trying to get your legs or something.
Yeah.
But you see it at every size company, every maturity, that, you know, like, you're trying to get this like product done, and they don't want to actually size it correctly. Everybody thinks it's a 2-week thing, when in reality, there's all these hidden costs of, you know, the risk of abuse, the risk of, you know, the accessibility and who you're biasing there and how it fits into your overall product. There's a lot more thinking that we constantly push into like some sort of debt or some, or we just don't even approach it. And these things just keep on happening. And maybe that was something that could pass in the very, very early days, but that's also what got us here, right? Like the early Facebook designers, we're having a great thrill ride riding that train of growth and just focusing, wow, okay, like we can create websites, people are coming in to use it. How can we get them to use it more? How can we get them to use it more? How can we get them to use it more? And then now here we are. And so it becomes such a really critical thing for designers to do, especially since we're such a central part of that process.
Yeah.
To say, okay, whatever comes by my desk is my responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's one of the ways that I think about what you just said is like, you know, for some of the projects that we were doing at Mercedes, for example, it would take us, you know, quite a while to go through research and just like brainstorming and ideation to come up with just an idea that we could pitch, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd pitch something to an executive, they'd be super interested in it, and then they say like, well, when can I get this? Right? And then you're like, well, hang on a second, like this was just like the start of the project, basically. Like if you really want us to like move forward, like we gotta do a whole bunch more work now. And so yeah, I mean, like framing projects and sizing projects and all that is like, it's like messy, right? It's like really messy, and especially if you're already having to just think about like, well, what can we get done in 2 weeks? You know, it's like, how can you possibly even think about something like platform abuse? You know,
yeah,
because you just wouldn't have time to really understand it, I think.
Yeah, and sometimes it can be a really tough sell. We don't want to, you know, pre-solve problems we don't have,
right?
And so like that's always the issue with preventative medicine or preventative care,
right?
And healthcare is sometimes it's really hard to sell. Like if your principles aren't there, or if the reward structure is not there, you end up rewarding, you know, people who get sick, but without, you know, like outside of the time zone that insurance pays for or whatever. So it can, like, I think the same thing happens in product, where it's really hard to sell them on the negative of something, the lack of something, like, hey, right, look, nothing happened. But I think one of the best ways to really materialize that has been lawsuits, unfortunately. Like if you talk about like the risk, legal risk,
people
understand legal risk much better.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, okay. And big companies, they know this a little bit better. Say, okay, if we do this, we're going to have to accept this much risk of, you know, being sued and things happening. And they understand that. But a lot of other companies that are a little bit smaller, it feels like, oh, we'll never, ever get sued. We're fine. So right, that threat doesn't really work for some companies. But for some companies, you can kind of say, okay, well, there's litigation around accessibility. There's litigation around privacy abuse, and at least there's something to grasp on to convince your team that working against to create the lack of something is worth doing.
Yeah.
But for other companies, it can be really, really tough.
Right.
And when it's not, and then what do you do? And I think you and I talked about this in the past of, okay, it's a designer's responsibility. Everything that comes by your desk is your responsibility. So what does that mean? When you try to convince your team and they aren't on board, or the someone in leadership pushes it through, then what do you do? Like, do you resign? Do you start looking for a job? the next job, you know, do you take a job at a company who isn't ethically that great, and you want to help get in there to actually help improve it by like speaking up and doing things? or do you, you know, not enable them by being one of their employees? And it's, that is a really interesting debate. That could be a show in and of itself, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really hard. I mean, if you've gone through the work to kind of show all this stuff, and then people are just not receptive to it or whatever, it's like, wow, what do you do? When I've through, fortunately, I have the ability to like provide mentorship through the special service I made called officehoursproject.com. Sorry, I had to plug it. But one of the things that I often tell people who are struggling, for example, is like, before you decide to like leave your company or leave your current position, like, always do whatever you can to like leverage the situation that you're in. And that could be like talking to people about things that you're interested in doing, or, you know, just working on stuff anyway, regardless of what people say, you know, like just try to find a way to do it rather than just like, you know, pull a Cartman and be like, hey, screw you guys, I'm going home kind of thing. Because ultimately it's going to be better for you. It's going to be better for the company if you kind of stick around and try to make something out of the situation. Obviously you're going to eventually come up to a wall where maybe you can't get over it. And then that's when you have to kind of decide. But, you know, maybe you have to, you know, in the case of like platform abuse, like maybe you're not talking to the right people and you have to find a different avenue that you can use to your advantage. Like, you know, you mentioned legal, like maybe you talk first to legal about it, right? Like what are the legal, you know, ramifications of like not dealing with this sort of platform abuse, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. That could actually
work in your favor.
Yeah, and I do think that in general, it's a good idea to stay and be that advocate and have them fire you, you know? but that is like a burden that you're choosing to bear, you know? And not everybody will have the capacity to do that, whether it's the emotional work that it's going to take. You know, maybe there's other things going on in your life, I don't know. But I think in general, we need people who are going to do that work, who are going to come to bat every day and just, you know, keep pounding at these things until things change. Otherwise, you know, if we keep fleeing and trying other things, I think that the change isn't going to happen enough. Someone else will come who's either, you know, might not even be on, you know, malicious or, you know, on the other side, but just, you know, not aware. Yeah. And they'll come in and do the work too. So I feel like it's better to join. And then there's obviously like some sort of red line that we need to decide. And we talk about this in Tragic Design too, that one of the most important things you can do as a designer is to think about these things beforehand and decide, okay, well, where's my red lines? What are the things that, how will I, you know, how can I detect all the things that are, you know, bad? And then how do I work with the gray area and come up, like we talk about our principles episode. How are you going to guide yourself in that gray area of things where we're kind of pushing people, nudging people here, or are we tricking them, you know? And your principles will help you do that. Otherwise, in the moment, it's very hard. And especially if the team themselves haven't agreed to these principles and you're just coming in here and being like, at the very end of the project and being like, oh, abuse or, oh, you know, accessibility, then, you know, your team's going to feel like, you know, they got thrown under the bus. But if it's principled and the team did it together and, you know, it's part of the process, then it becomes so much easier to add this incrementally. And that's actually one of the main points I wanted to make on this accessibility episode is it's such a small ask. It's such a small addition to the overall process,
right?
When you do it as part of the process versus afterward,
right?
It's been mind-boggling to me. Like as I go through, you know, a big company like Google and trying to like put piece together, it's like actually not that much time. And so it just really becomes about education.
Yeah.
And putting the, you know, some tools together, and that's about it. It's very, very straightforward. So the same thing can be said for all this like ethical bias and dark pattern type stuff, where if you just have, you know, that, that clarity, then it becomes so much more easy to, you know, avoid or to design around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. I mean, it's often way harder to like re-engineer something that you should have done, you know, from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
You know, so like, it's always better to try to include things as you go. Something else I was thinking that maybe we can talk about a bit is, and what I'm thinking, it also kind of connects to earlier parts of the process where it's like you're trying to do research and stuff. I think especially with social media products, you know, like, for example, not to harp on them, but like if you're a designer at Facebook, let's say, you know, and you get a project and you're working on your project and you're just trying to do a good job with your project, you know, be responsible and all that stuff. It can get easy to just sort of focus on just the thing that you have to do, right? And so, but if you think about like, in the case of what we're talking about, right, this whole mess with Trump and people storming the Capitol building and everything, like, you have to consider the fact that people aren't just going to use your product, right? They're going to look at Twitter, they're going to look at Reddit, they're going to look at YouTube, they're going to look at all kinds of other products that are kind of similar, right? And so if you're designing something, I don't know, that allows for certain kinds of messaging to come through, well, think about that with like all the other services that these people are using in addition to yours, right? And is it okay, you know, if this one small thing kind of goes through, but in concert with all these other things as well, right? I mean, I think that that's something to think about when you're sort of evaluating what sort of scope your project has, what products are people using, you know, all these kinds of things, right? This is design, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it always comes back to just a really strong design process. And yeah, how good of a job it can do at keeping you on track. And that really means that you're really understanding your users, and you're building off of that, and you're vetting your work with real people. And that'll oftentimes, you know, detect a lot of these things. And but there, you know, I think there is this like big problem around, you know, these unintended consequences,
right?
And I have to admit that so Smarter Every Day did a really good episode a while ago. He's a YouTuber, and he did an episode about, you know, like he interviewed like people at Facebook and Twitter about, mm-hmm, you know, some of the problems that they were having on all those issues, and that really opened my eyes, like the complexity of the problems.
Yeah.
And it's really tough, and I don't think I could go in there and solve it tomorrow, you know.
No.
And so it also becomes part of this like a much these bigger questions around, you know, we're playing with these really powerful tools now that we really don't really know how to use properly yet,
right?
And you know, you can say like, oh, it's changing us, or is it just accelerating, you know, right, the things we already did in the past?
Yeah.
And so oftentimes we also want to blame technology and say that, okay, you know, it has this responsibility to like shepherd the people. But you know, there's also another side to that, which is like our personal responsibility to really start to like talk to our friends and family and,
yeah,
you know, be open about these issues and not shut them out either. I know, yeah, like I know there's a lot going on where, especially in the United States, where we feel really divided.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, it's very, it's a lot of labor, emotional labor to like, yeah, discuss someone who denies that a disease exists, or you know, denies that election happened, or whatever it is. But I think it's really important to keep at it. And, you know, I personally feel like it's like you have to love on these people and to try and continue to convey that message in a way that they'll accept. And it's going to be it's a lot of labor, and it's a lot of difficult, awkward conversations, but, you know, keep at it.
Yeah.
Keep opening up to these people, keep trying to open up them. Cause I think that's kind of how we got into this, is where we had this, like, this thing happening online. And so you could have viewpoints that were in this bubble and were, you know, often like confirmed by the other people in that bubble.
Right.
And then offline you had, no one talked about politics. No one talked about anything uncomfortable. And so there was never any challenge to that or any kind of, you know, debate. It was really just sort of this bubble. And so I think, you know, there's also, you know, like at work having those conversations,
yeah,
which can feel really weird. It's like bringing the politics and stuff at work, but we can talk about principles at work. We don't have to talk about the specifics, but we could talk about principles and agree on principles and integrate those principles into our process. And I think that's really what's missing from a lot of product teams, and could help with a lot of this.
But yeah, I mean, I think something that I was thinking though was, you know, to use the example I was talking about, like if you're working on something at Facebook, you know, if some weird message, you know, some message that people shouldn't really be getting, you know, let's say it's not Trump, let's say it's like anti-vaccine messaging, right? Let's say that message is being amplified, you know, a bunch of times on your platform. I think one of the challenges, and I don't know how much the product teams at Facebook are really thinking about this, but it's like people are not just using your product, right? So they might be getting the same or similar messaging, like constantly being amplified through other services too.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Or right. Newsletters or emails. Right.
Yeah. Right. And so it's like, okay, so if you're, you know, to kind of circle back to what you're talking about, like if you are at home trying to talk to a family member that's like really deep into those things, you know, you're competing with like 5-6 different apps on their phone, for example, that are all kind of spewing out the same messaging to them, and they're using it, you know, on a pretty regular basis. You know, I remember, like, for example, I was in 2019, I was on this big bike trip, right? I haven't really talked about it on this show, but I was on a big bike trip in 2019 where I was crossing through basically a lot of the red states. And I remember pulling into a small town in Wyoming, and I stopped there to get some food, and I was in a cafe, and sure enough, in this cafe was a giant, like, I don't know, 60-inch flat screen TV, something. And it was just Fox News 24/7 in this cafe. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like everyone that comes in there is like totally on that Fox News thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was like, honestly, it was kind of uncomfortable because I was like probably the only Asian guy in town. And, you know, here I am sitting in this cafe eating a cheeseburger and like Fox News is on there, like right in front of me. But the point that I wanted to make is like, you know, all these kinds of messages, they're being amplified in not just your product. If you're working on social media products, right, it's going to be in all the different other products as well.
Yeah,
that people are using, and even if you were to maybe sort of address it somewhat in your product, you have to also think about that that's not the only thing that somebody's using, right? And are you doing enough or are you not doing enough? And, you know, how much should you sort of pull things back or let things through? It's certainly not an easy decision. But I think it's important to at least be aware of it so that you can start to have the conversation. Right?
Yeah, I think that is a good point that, you know, even if we fixed all the social media platforms tomorrow, like this problem is not just going to disappear.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think that the biggest thing we wanted to define on the podcast today is that we do have a responsibility as designers.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, there's a lot more problems than just the software, the problems our softwares create. And, you know, the world needs a lot more than that, but at least that's something that we're have influence over and that we need to have responsibility over.
Yeah.
And so practically, what does that look like? I think, you know, our principles episode, I highly recommend, because if you try to do this on your own, it's going to be an uphill battle, but you need to include the teams that you work on and defining principles together, and then having that guide you, and including a step where you try to think about risk and abuse.
Yeah.
Those two things will get you 80% of the way there. And so I would say just focus on that. And the way you could do that is talking to some sort of management and talking about, you know, we need to define principles as a group and getting that done. And then, you know, if you have any kind of ticket or like document definition about features, make sure that you include in that template risk and abuse.
Yeah.
those two things will do wonders for starting to really lay a foundation for your team to address a lot of these issues. So that's what I want to, I'll try to leave as like, you know, our practical aim for this show. Yeah. Go do those two things and start to have those difficult discussions around, okay, well, you know, how will our product be? What are the different kinds of people who might use our product? You know, what about people who want to use our product for evil? I mean, I know in one case I'll share that we didn't do that for one of a feature that I worked on a long time ago, one of my first jobs. And we ended up having a ton of spammers using that service, and cost us a lot of money because every time they would do their thing, it would get essentially, like, I guess the way it worked is that they would sign up with a credit card and then like refute it or something like that. And then we would get a chargeback from that for every single one of those spam accounts. So it ended up costing us a lot of money, not to mention, like, you know, our customers' trust and things like that. Yeah. And so there's a lot of benefit, like, you know, there's always like the right thing to do anyway, but so crazy, like every single time it comes with all these other benefits of reducing risk for your company, opening up to a better experience for your customers, and opening up to more types of customers. It's like, it's a win-win-win situation. So it's really just a matter of adding that to your process rather than trying to like go back and change everything at the last moment.
Yeah. I also think, you know, to add on to that, I think even on a really basic level, just to be able to, like, be willing to have those kinds of conversations with people, because it can be hard sometimes. You know, I know from just my own personal experience, sometimes it's hard to bring up difficult topics because, you know, you're not sure if it's okay to talk about it, or, you know, it's like you're like halfway through the sprint and you realize something, you know, maybe something comes up as you're working on things and you realize, like, hey, this might actually open up the company to some lawsuits or something, right? And so, like, what do you do? Like, how do you deal with that stuff? Do you just finish your project, or do you try to like stop things or whatever? But it's important, you know, if you come upon those kinds of situations, like, it's really important to like open up the communication a little bit and just talk to people. And I know, you know, there's a whole thing we could maybe talk about, like, well, we did a whole communication show. But we could probably do a whole show on just like how to communicate certain problems or certain ideas. But yeah, I mean, just being able to talk about these types of things is really important.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, and hopefully this was helpful. You know, again, this is an unscripted episode for us, and we didn't really have the clear points. But I think I hopefully the main points we wanted to share with you, I've come across that, you know, we have responsibility with whatever we touch, whatever we work on, whatever we're around and we can speak up to, we need to speak up to. And then those two practical actions of, you know, talk to your managers about defining principles as a team, you know, set up a meeting where you can do that. And then second is adding that little section to whatever, you know, product definition area you have, and saying, you know, what are the risks and what are the potential abuses? Hopefully that's practical enough, but also, you know, we've conveyed the heaviness of this is this problem is getting worse and worse and worse. And we need designers out there who are going to help tackle these problems and speak up and do that work to push back on these things.
I mean, it's incredibly easy to just kind of accept everything that comes across your desk and just kind of do it and go home and not really think about it. But, you know, the problem with doing that is, you know, we end up in situations like this where now all of a sudden people are storming down the Capitol building and, you know, it's like, how did we get here? Well, there was a whole bunch of little things that happened over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years.
And I mean, of course, tech isn't the be all end all of why these things are happening, like you said, Chris. But I think, you know, like whatever we can influence, right, we want to. I definitely don't want to add to any, you know, or add or accelerate any of that either. So, this was a really helpful episode. I'm glad we got to talk about this. It was kind of heavy on my heart, and I know, Chris, for you as well. Yeah. So thanks for letting us kind of unload here, and let us know if it was helpful to you or if you had any different thoughts. There's a lot to unpack here. And then next episode, we'll be talking about accessibility, which is going to be somewhat related, but we're going to have a lot of practical tips, really focus in on what exactly to do versus drilling in why it's so important. So tune in for that. Yeah. You can find us online on www.designreviewpodcast.com. We're also on Twitter at @dr_podcast. I am at @designuxui.
And I'm at @machinehuman. We are also available on all the podcasting services. So it's really cool if you can find us on, you know, iTunes or Anchor. We're on Anchor now. And leave us a review. Give us a nice rating. If you found any useful stuff out of our shows, it would be really helpful to give us a nice little rating there.
And of course, we always have to plug Chris's awesome resource, officehoursproject.com. So if you need mentoring or you want to mentor others, go sign up there. There's a lot of, it's a great community. There's so many people are using it. So go check it out. It's continuing to grow. And the more people that use it, the more beneficial it becomes.
Yeah, I recently just added a couple designers from Rwanda, actually, of all places. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like spectacular folks. Super, super good people to talk to. So, check it out. What else? I guess that's it.
Thanks for giving us your time. We will talk to you next time. But until then, see you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.